Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org. This episode is titled Creating a Divine New Order Movement. Here is Gabriel of Urantia.
The word new, well, this has to begin with, as Neon said, and as Jesus said, this has to begin with the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. America, this was once known as the New World. And it consisted of pilgrims and pioneers, adventurers. Many had dreams. They came here on this new world as pilgrims. Many spiritual pilgrims, thinking, wanting, desiring, and hoping to create a new Jerusalem, a new world. And trying to create that paradise on earth, some looked for the fountain of youth, Ponce de León. Our beginning new world, the founding fathers and mothers, they wrote a new government charter. And they called that new government charter the Declaration of what?
Independence.
Independence from what? The old order. Look at the dollar bill. What's it say on the dollar bill?
God we trust.
And, right, towards a new order. That paradise, the new world, the new Jerusalem, small as it began here in this country, when the old order began to infiltrate their new world, the dream, the American dream, now and slowly has become the great nightmare. But many people don't realize they're living in a nightmare, that they're living in a non-reality. And that's one of the major problems. I'd like to read you some definitions of the word new. New, of recent origin, production, purchase, having but lately come or been brought into being, like a new book. Of a kind now existing or appearing for the first time. A new novel, a new concept of the universe. Aquarian concepts, we say. Having but lately or but now becoming known. A new elementary particle. Unfamiliar or strange, often come to, I'm sorry, unfamiliar or strange, new ideas, wanting to explore new worlds, having but lately come to a place, a new position or a new status, a new minister, unaccustomed people new to such work, further, additional, fresh or unusual, such as a new sheet of paper, different and better in physical or moral quality. It made a new man of him or a new woman. Other than the former or the old, a new era. Beginning being the later or latest of two or more things of the same kind, a new addition, recently or freshly used in combination, describing things that have not been known or existed before. New refers to something recently made, grown, or built, or recently found, invented, or discovered. A new car, new techniques. Fresh refers to something that has retained its original properties or has been affected, not been affected by the use of the passage of time. Fresh strawberries, fresh ideas. Novel refers to something new that has an unexpected, strange, or striking quality, generally pleasing, a novel experience. So we have the New Age. We have the New Testament. You know, we have the Old Testament, and then we have the New Testament. And the ones who don't want to believe in the New Testament, and would just want to accept the Old Testament, they're the ones that don't want to accept the idea of the New Testament. New Testament came about approximately a little over 2,000 years ago, but we still have millions of people on the planet in a religion that doesn't want to look at that New Testament. They only want to look at the Old Testament, so they don't even believe that the Bible, Old and New, 66 books, is even new. So they just want to look at the Old Testament. Talk about orthodox thinking. Talk about fundamentalism. You can't get any worse than that. And so I don't know how many millions are just involved in wanting to study or read the Old Testament, but hey, there's a New Testament. And beyond that, beyond the New Testament, there's the Fifth Epical Revelation, your answer book, and the Cosmic Family volumes up and above the New Testament. So how many millions don't want to come into the Fifth Epical Revelation, the New Revelation? Millions and millions upon millions upon millions of Christians. Some of them, a lot of them, probably the majority of them, maybe, have never even heard of the Urantia book or Cosmic Family volumes. And if they do, and if light is shed on them, it's negative light, and by Christian pastors who themselves don't want to come in to a new revelation. One of the problems I had as a minister who studied the Bible for many, many years, 11 years, and thought I was pretty well versed in it, is that when I go to Urantia study groups with the book, the Urantia book, I was a novice. I didn't know hardly anything. I had to listen to young kids, 18, 17 years old sometimes, who were there, some in their 20s, but I was in my 30s then, who were my elder in many ways, who knew concepts that I didn't know. And so that was humbling because I was then, you know, back at one point, they called me Reverend, you know, and I was supposed to know all about, you know, about God. And here these concepts came that I didn't even know about. Creator, Son, Finaliter, Solitary Messenger, Anandadek Sun, Planetary Prince? What's that? But at least the Spirit of Truth was in me enough where I was willing to investigate, to study, to show myself approved unto God, not just the New Testament or the Old, but this new revelation. If it was wrong, I was going to prove it wrong. But if it was right, I'd have to follow it. And guess what? Here I is. And so we are trying to create the new holy city in government, the new holy city, the new Jerusalem. We're trying to create it, at least our little part, doing our little part on this end until the one up in there in the universe up there comes and meets us. Because he said it's coming. And so this new city that we're trying to create here, we have to be the examples of this new world. We have to be the examples of the new world. Right now, we're creating a new city. This city has to become the city of the new world. We are the capital city of the new world. We are the new Jerusalem. We are the planetary headquarters, capital city of the new world. We have to be new citizens. New citizens. And becoming new citizens, we have to have a new look. A new hairdo. everything has got to be new. New clothing. We have to design new clothing. We talked about we have to design new art, new music. But most of all, a new mindset. How we relate to our reality. We have to learn to relate to God in a higher way. Jesus can't be just Jesus anymore. He has to be Christ Michael. We have to begin to call him Michael. He does care. How does he care? Well, when your son grows up, or your daughter, and they know you as a 12-year-old, if they only knew you as a 12-year-old for the rest of your life, and you couldn't communicate with them, if you had no kind of way in which you could communicate to them in a more mature way, wouldn't that get sickening? Everything got to be new. Everything. A new world. That's what we need. A new mindset. New ways to relate to God. In specifics, there are three aspects of our present non-reality that we have to make more reality to relate to. Those three aspects are money. That's what I began to talk about in the beginning. That subject, we've talked about to some degree here at class. Jesus has a whole, a New Rancher book has a wonderful chapter on the relationship between you and money. And then private property. And the third one is what it is to be successful. God's definition of being successful is quite different than the definition that you may have learned from your parents, from your schooling, from your education, from television, what being successful is. You can be very successful being a laborer or a gardener, very successful. Doing what may be considered very simple things in life, you know, very successful. Jesus was a carpenter and a spiritual teacher. Some couldn't see him as a spiritual teacher because they couldn't get by the fact that he was just a carpenter. They couldn't get by that fact. That's it. That's a problem when you can't see the spirituality in someone because you're looking for the wealth that they have, the position that they have. If you can't just look at somebody in the eyes and say, yep, this person's my elder. If you don't have that ability right now, that's because you've been taught and you've learned things that aren't real. So no wonder you can't find your true teachers. Are you true elders? No wonder you think you're your own elder. No wonder. How we relate to money. Private property. I like with private property, like, you know, the Native Americans, I've said this before, the whole earth is God's. How is it that the white man puts fences up everywhere and says, this is my little space. You fly above America and you see all these little fences everywhere. United States divided in blocks all over the whole United States. You look and you see sections, square blocks. You know how ugly it is when you fly over white America. How ugly it is. Or white Western civilization, for that matter. Or anywhere. Forgive me if I use the word white here. It just kind of is a word that kind of fits. Mm-hmm. Kind of fits because it is the white race that has pretty much oppressed the other races. Absolutely. Greed. Those in power. So instead of the word private property, I like caretakers. I like that word, caretakers. Because we are caretakers of God's property, of God's land of God's earth. On the ideal world, we'd be moving a lot faster, but not uncomfortably so. We'd be able to maybe go to different sections of the planet and live for months at a time. If you don't like the winter, it doesn't really work out for you well, and you want a planet where there is winter, well, you just go in somebody else's house somewhere in the summer, work for God there. Will you be maybe in better health because your body's not equipped for the winter? Here on this planet, you can't do that unless you got what? Money. So that's why people strive to get money. That's why they want to control everybody, those with the money, so that they can do it and you can't. You're stuck trying to support them all over the world to make them do it. So we don't have to own anything. All we have to do is be good stewards of it. A divine government, there is no private property. As long as there's private property, then you own it and I don't. You own more, you're badder than me. You're bigger and badder than me. You're more successful than me. No one owns it. God owns it. Divine government uses it. That's the way it should work. Deep down in your hearts, even you greedy people know that's the truth. But you won't admit it. Don't even want to see it, some of you. That's why you can't see it, because you're so doggone greedy. How we relate to money, that's pretty simple. I got a very simple answer for that. Number one, there should be no money. But if there is money, and how we relate to it is, we are thy brother's keeper. We are thy brother's keeper. How many pair of shoes can you own? 100 pair of shoes? 200? How many pants, dresses, skirts? How many TVs do you want? How many Frigidaires do you need? How many cars do you think you need? What do you think you need for happiness? How many yachts do you need? I myself, if I went on a yacht because I can't really use one, I'd want someone else to operate it, because I'd probably end up and land about 10 feet and land somewhere, you know? Like, what do you really need? And what is it to be successful? One of the happiest men I've ever met on this planet was a man of color, and he was caretaking the land at a university. And another happy man I met was caretaking the land in a monastery. He had a smile on his face. I mean, he was always cheerful, you know. He'd always, every time you see him, you know, he had a good story to tell you. You know, he was living there. He didn't have hardly anything, living in the monastery there. He had a little caretaker's hut, you know, and he was happy. And but you see the other people coming there to the monastery, even the abbot. You know, the abbot, he wasn't as happy as the caretaker was. Because the abbot, he got caught up in the old order. He was in the old order, you know. The caretaker, yeah, he was, much as he can be out of it, he was out of it. He learned some lessons in life, you know. So I go talking, when I had a problem, you know, I knew not to go talk to the abbot. He didn't know what the hell he was doing. I went to talk to the gardener. He gave me some good advice. I knew who my elder was around there. Just look at their faces. Jesus was the most successful person that ever walked on the planet. Jesus was. Many would think he was unsuccessful because he was crucified on the cross. But he was the most successful man that ever walked on the planet. It was not God's will that he be crucified on the cross. It was the will of the fallen state of man and women on this planet to put him on that cross. He could have used all of his power. He could have said, disappear. Talk about humility. You know, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he was the most successful example that we can have on this planet. And so to be successful, a lot of people think they have to make a lot of money. You know, well, one of the problems is that in relationship to money is that we don't have anyone that we can trust. You know, out there in the world, if you trust someone, a lot of times they let you down. They betray you, you know. And so one of the problems is that you can't find real leaders out there, real spiritual leaders who really are concerned about you, you know. Now, we can't just give handouts to people. Jesus didn't do that. He fed the 5,000, was it once? Is it? Then he realized a lot of them came to listen to him just because they wanted some fish and bread. So he said, no more fish and bread. You want to come and listen to me, you come and listen to me for the right reasons. And he made many decisions not to perform miracles or to give handouts. You know, he made many decisions. So there's a way in which that we have to implement these divine resources in a different relation. Gandhi himself said that we have enough natural resources right now on the planet, and this is back then in the 50s, we have enough natural resources right now that there doesn't have to be a needy human being on the planet, and that every person on this planet could be doing what God would have them do if it can be equally distributed. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Then there has to be those in authority that say, well, look, I can't give you a Martin guitar right now. You probably would scratch it. You probably break the strings every 10 minutes. But I'm going to give you another kind of guitar that this is where you should be right now. We have to have leaders and authority in all of the fields that could give you what you need for now, for your level of talent and ability. We have to have those kinds of leaders in every field. You shouldn't have to struggle all your life to get what you need to follow your dreams of God, that God's put in you. It shouldn't take you to your 40s and 50s and 60s to be able to paint the masterpiece, build the bridge, build the building, you know, implement the program. It shouldn't take you all of your life and then some. By the time you get it all, you're half dead. Because it was so hard surviving and trying to get there. It shouldn't be like that. You should be doing it in your 20s. In your teens even, some of you would be able to, particularly the starseed. By the time you're at your 25, you can produce your first major movie. You can build your first building. You know, that's the way it should be. But on this planet, it doesn't work quite like that, but that's the way that it should work. You should be able to travel to any place on this planet with no money. Today, only the rich can do that. But you should be able to do that. There shouldn't be any boundaries. I like the words at the end of the movie, The English Patient, where she says, I look forward to a world that doesn't have any maps. You know, no boundaries. Wouldn't that be a wonderful place where we're all brothers and sisters? We all have a common government, divine government. We all have a common understanding of God, a common language of God. We all understand the higher concepts of God, not the God of the old order, not the God of the old religions, but the cosmic God, the God that is, the God that always was and always will be, that God and all that God is. That's the God we have to communicate to one another. Because as long as you call God Allah and I call God Jesus, as much as we try to be brothers, we're not going to be. Because we're going to have different language and different concepts of God. And those very concepts and that very language of God, even if we speak English and you're Muslim and I'm Christian, even if we speak English, your concepts of God and you're Muslim and my concepts of God, my Christianity separates us. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what the Son of Man taught. That's not what he taught. When the founding fathers and mothers came here to this great, great country of America and the New World, their idea was to worship what they knew to be then the cosmic God at their level, which was Jesus Christ. all immigrants that came to this country were taught the Christian aspect of God to become, to know that you can become a Protestant or a Catholic, but you weren't to become a Buddhist or a Muslim or anything else. This was a Christian country. Now we have Buddhist temples, we have Muslim temples, we have, you name it, we got it. Within those religions, there is truth and beauty and goodness, many millions of people in those religions. But those people are also kept back from higher truth by their leaders who own the oil wells, who own all the big corporations. They'd rather keep them in ignorance. Whereas the leaders, they may secretly be reading the Urantia book and the Divine New Order, because they have all the access to things, you know. Now, they might not be changing. I look forward to the day when the Muslim millionaire, billionaire, whatever, comes up to me and says, "Everything I have, my friend, I give to you in the Divine New Order. God bless you." Hallelujah, brother. You know, we're cosmic allies, you know, in the Divine New Order. That's how it has to be. That's how it has to be. The Pope, he has to do the same thing. He has to come to me and say, "Hey, you're the real Peter. You got the real keys to the kingdom." That's what he has to do. You know, is he going to do it? I doubt it. Probably take the literal return of Jesus in order for him to do it. See how hard it is? See what our battle is? It's a big one. It's a big battle. You know, it's quite a war. It's been going on for the last 200,000 years. And we've, many starseed, have fought life after life after life to try and change this world. And it hasn't been easy. Many of us have died martyrs. I'm tired of dying a martyr. I'm very tired of that. I'm hoping that Bebopy is the New Jerusalem. I like to see it make a left turn when it gets to the sun. Instead of going by the sun, boy, I'd be so excited if it decides to make a left turn and head towards Earth. Woo! Wouldn't that be a rush? Yeah. I mean, we'd be singing hallelujah.
Some you know. Astronomers would die of a heart attack.
You know, now that may not happen now, but I guarantee you that's going to happen. You know, we are going to see that happen. We are going to see him coming with that great celestial army and that great New Jerusalem ship that's coming. That's a city on space wheels. We are going to see that coming. And to that endeavor, we work, we give our lives, we dedicate everything we have for that endeavor, for the common good of all in the system of Satania. Thank you so much.
Vanetics with Gabriel of Urantia and Neon Emerson Chase, an ongoing series of lectures and teachings on spiritual leadership, personal change, and the principles of divine administration. Part of the curriculum of the University of Ascension Science and the Physics of Rebellion. More information can be found at uaspr.org.